شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، أما بعد. الحمد لله، we praise Allah, we seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray. And whoever is led astray, then there is no God for him. I bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is his slave and his messenger. Amma ba'd. As for the Aqidah of Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qirawani, we haven't covered it in some time, but inshallah ta'ala, the next time we resume after a couple of weeks, we'll cover this, his statement as translated: he is above having something in his kingdom or sovereignty that he does not want, or someone being independent without need of him. He is al-Khaliq of everything, al-Khaliq, or the creator of everything. He is the Rabb, Lord of the servants, and the Rabb of their deeds, and Al-Muqaddir of their movements and their appointed times. Al-Muqaddir, or the one who has already predetermined. Al-Ba'ith of messengers, the sender of messengers to them as proof against them. Then he finalized and put an end to the inspiring and sending of revelation, the giving of warnings, and the sending of prophets by sending Muhammad, his prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thus he made him the last of the messengers, a bearer of glad tidings and a warner, and as one who invites to Allah by his permission and as a clear light, and he revealed his wise book to him. Inshallah ta'ala, the next time we resume, and I think it might be a couple of weeks, we take a break, inshallah, that we'll begin with the statement of Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qirawani, rahimahullah. As for today, and we're running a little late because of the rain, and we'll just remind the brothers and myself that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala answers the dua of the person who asks him when it's raining, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us in his sunnah. And alhamdulillah that Allah has blessed us in a way by having us live in this part of his earth where the rain comes down, where the rain pours often. And we have a chance to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the good in this world and the good in the hereafter, and to save us from the hellfire. So we should be sure that we take it advantage of this time to ask Allah so that he can answer our dua, and take advantage of all the times that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us to take advantage of, where it's more likely that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala might answer our dua. And also to know the dua that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say when it rained: Allahumma sayyiban nafi'a, Allahumma sayyiban nafi'a, Allahumma sayyiban nafi'a. Three words: Allahumma sayyiban nafi'a. O Allah, make this pour or this rainfall beneficial. Sayyiban nafi'a. Allahumma sayyiban nafi'a. O Allah, make this rainfall beneficial. And it was nice that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make this dua, especially when Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says in the Quran, after we say a'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim, afara'aytumul ma'a alladhi tashrabun, a'antum anzaltumuhu minal muzni am nahnul munzilun, لَوْ نَشَاءُ جَعَلْنَاهُ أُجَاجًا فَلَوْلَا تَشْكُرُونَ. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us, and this is in Surah Al-Waqi'ah, do not you see the water that you drink? Did you bring it down from where it comes, or did we bring it down? If we had chosen, we could have made the water come down salty in a way that nothing would grow from it. Won't you be thankful? You see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he had chosen, he could have made the water rain, ocean water or something. Killing plants, the more you drink it, the thirstier you'll get. Giving no life to us but death. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose to do that to us, we'd be finished. So we should be thankful for the water that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us by making the dua, Allahumma sayyiban nafi'a, and then taking advantage of this time. As we say that Islam is a deen, it covers every aspect of our lives. So we should be sure that we make Islam cover every aspect of our lives. Not that it's something that we just brag on our tongues. We're the Muslims. We have a deen, Islam. It's not just a religion, brother. It's a deen. It's a whole way of life. You're acting like you have something special. Then when you go home and look at your life, it's just a religion. It's not a whole way of life. So we have to be sure that all of the guidance that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to bring us, that we try to apply in all aspects of our lives. Today, inshallah, since we were getting close to Labor Day, as I've been hearing the word, I'm going to take this time to read a ruling on celebrating the festivals of the Kafirs and congratulating them. This was written, I don't have an English equivalent, but it looks like about a year and a half ago. It was written by Sheikh Safar al-Hawali, who's from Saudi Arabia, and it was translated by an American. His name is Ammar, and I don't know how to pronounce his last name. Ammonette. He was in Mecca for some time studying, and I met him there. He was working for a Dawah center, and then that Dawah center had some problems, and now the brother, he's back in America. So this was a question and an answer. And this style, I'll just recommend for the imam and for the active brothers in the community, that if they want to take advantage of spreading some knowledge in the deen, then this is a good way to do it. You take one question, you want to give the answer, you make it a verdict, you make it, explain it to the people, make it easy to read and understand. You can just pass it out as flyers on Yawm al-Jumu'ah. The people in their spare time, if they're drinking coffee or something, they can take advantage and read one page and get a verdict. Or even it could be a half a page. But it could be something that's short that the people can handle and comprehend and they can take it. Because we know that you don't learn Islam overnight. One night you're ignorant, the next night you're a sheikh. Or the next night you're a saint or what have you. But Islam is a process and we're constantly learning. And I was just really happy to see that a verdict was on one sheet of paper like this. Because it's easy for the everyday people to pick up and read. The Sheikh, rahimahullah, was questioned, what is the judgment, and I'm just translating, the Arabic was there also in the back, but we'll just give the translation. What is the judgment of Islamic law in the case of a Muslim who participates in celebrations of non-Islamic festivals such as Christmas, or who congratulates Kuffar on such occasions knowing that they are not Muslim festivals? I translated non-Muslims as Kuffar, but that was in the Arabic text, but he felt it proper to say non-Muslims. And I just make it a point that I've come to say it a few times, unfortunately, from hearing it so much, you just say what you hear. But we shouldn't even give them the benefit of the doubt of affiliating themselves to the Muslims by non-Muslims. And just call them disbelievers, or kuffar, or mushrikeen, the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls the kuffar. Because non-Muslim seems to be too pleasant for people that are heading to the hellfire. in the word kafir. And I remember some people say, don't call me kafir. And he doesn't even know what the word means. But he can feel that something isn't right. Kafir. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he chose to call them kuffar or mushrikeen. And we should find it comfortable to use the language of the Muslims, kuffar and mushrikeen. And the mushrikeen should become comfortable with us calling them by these names. We learn their lingo. If they have a new lingo or style or whatever language, we pick up all the phrases. And it's not good that we pick up their phrases, but they should be picking up our phrases. To learn something about Islam, salat, zakat, hajj, umrah, these should be common terms. We live with people, we work with them, we go to school with them, we talk with them. The language that we use as Muslims, it should be common knowledge to the people that are around us. Oh, you have to make salat? Oh, that's Sawm Ramadan? They should know some of the lingo of the Muslims. And they should know that, oh, you refer to us as kafirs, the people who aren't Muslims. He answered, praise is due to Allah alone, and His blessings and peace upon the final prophet. Now then, celebrating non-Muslim festivals or kuffar festivals, or congratulating them on such occasions while knowing that they are exclusively non-Islamic occasions, falls under one of four possible cases. The first case, doing so with no intention of sanctifying their religious rites, nor believing that their religion is correct, but simply to participate with them in their customs and traditions for the sake of politeness or neighborliness. This can be realized in congratulations more than attending the festival. So that's the first case. And he goes on to explain, this is forbidden. The doing so with no intention of sanctifying their religious rites, nor believing that their religion is correct, but simply participating for the sake of being polite. This is forbidden by Islamic law, since attending such celebrations is a means of sanctifying their religious rites and a sign of acknowledging their beliefs. Many of our great scholars of the past have said concerning the interpretation of Allah's words in the Quran, وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَشْهَدُونَ الزُّورِ وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِاللَّغْوِ مَرُّوا كِرَامًا. And this is in Surah Al-Furqan, verse number 72. That's 2572. The true servants of Ar-Rahman are those, and then it goes down to where we quote it, who witness no falsehood. That's the literal translation that they give to. And if they come upon vain speakers, pass by with dignity. Who witness no falsehood. الَّذِينَ لَا يَشْهَدُونَ الزُّورِ. لَا يَشْهَدُونَ الزُّورِ was explained to mean attending the festivals of the idolaters or the mushrikeen. This was the explanation of some of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and some of the scholars of Islam, as Ibn Kathir al-Hafiz rahimahullah mentioned in his book of Tafsir, that those people who do not witness falsehood, they are the people who do not participate or attend the festivals or celebrations of the mushrikeen. These are the people who don't witness any falsehood. So here we see that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in this verse, when he's detailing these verses, and this was the point that we wanted to make, when he's talking about the servants of Allah, he's talking about the characteristics of the servants of Allah. And it's a nice passage at the end of Surah Al-Furqan, which starts at, that's chapter 25, and it starts at verse number 61 to 77, for whoever wants to go home and read the description that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives for His believing servants, the things that they do and the things that they don't. And it was a very nice passage, and inshallah ta'ala we can read it when we get home. He went on to say that the Prophet
sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, inna li kulli qawmin eidan. وهذا من أوضح الأدلة على الاختصاص. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, each nation has its own festival or celebration or holiday, that's the word. This is one of the clearest proofs that such festivals are exclusively for them. And we have to see, mashallah, that how the ulama understand the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so as to give us guidance, so as to show us the importance of the statement of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, ya ayyuha alladhina amanu ati'u Allah wa ati'u ar-rasul wa ulul amri minkum. Oh, you who believe, obey Allah and obey His Messenger and those leaders and scholars from among you. Then we have to obey the leaders and scholars from among us. Just as Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us, fas'alu ahla dhikri in kuntum la ta'alamun. Ask the people of dhikr, or the people who have knowledge of the revelation of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, when you don't know. So here, alhamdulillah, we're seeing why Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has given us ulama or scholars, that we can question them about our deen and that they could explain their deen to us. Each nation has its own festival, has its own celebration, or has its own holiday. Maybe if we saw that, we didn't see how that it was particular to each people. That each people have their own festivals and holidays and celebrations for themselves. Not that each other people participate in everyone's holiday, but that everyone has their own thing. And us, as Muslims, we have our own Eid, two Eids that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave to us, and that is Eid al-Fitr, which is the breaking of the fast after Ramadan, and Eid al-Adha, or the Eid during the time when the people are on Hajj. So those are our two celebrations, and we don't find the disbelieving people celebrating in our celebrations. And if we are true believing servants in Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, you don't find us participating or attending in their celebration. Not even for the first case, doing so with no intention of sanctifying their rites, nor believing that their religion is correct, just participating for the sake of being polite. The believing servants of Ar-Rahman, they don't attend the festivals or the holidays or the celebrations of the disbelievers. No.
In the case of something like a Juneteenth celebration.
The festivals of the Mushrikeen, however numerous they are, how many they are, whatever forms or whatever they take place, whenever they take place, if they're the festivals of the Mushrikeen, of the disbelieving people who are not Muslims, we don't participate and we don't attend and we don't take part in any way, shape or form any of their holidays, whatever they are. I don't know anything about Juneteenth Day. I never heard of it. But whatever holiday, if it's a holiday of the disbelieving people, we don't participate in it. And I'm going to even take it a farther step to say, even if it's some of the celebrations or holidays or festivals of the Muslims, and it's other than that which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam brought to us in those two Eids. Because I think we're in the month now, Rabi al-Awwal, the month that the Prophet of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was born. And some people, like, they celebrate their own birthdays. Unfortunately, they celebrate the birthday of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Muslims have no right to celebrate the birthday of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because Allah says, Al-Yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum. This day I have completed for you your religion, your deen. And with this deen being completed, there is no celebration of the birthday of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also, we know that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, مَنْ أَحْدَثَ فِي أَمْرِنَا هَذَا مَا لَيْسَ مِنْهُ فَهُوَ رَدْ. That whoever invents, and whoever innovates something in this affair of ours, then it is rejected. And alhamdulillah, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with guidance, he sent them with the proper guidance, that no one could come with another program and be fooled to mix it in with Islam. What I'm trying to say is, some people, when they hear this hadith, whoever innovates something in this deen of that's not a part of it, then it's rejected. They say, I didn't invent celebrating the Prophet's birthday. We found our fathers and our grandfathers, and for hundreds of years, we found the Muslims celebrating the Prophet's birthday, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. So we're celebrating it. Why are you using that hadith to say it's rejected? I ain't invent nothing in this deen. I'm just doing what I found the Muslims do for hundreds of years. The Messenger of Allah, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, says in another narration of the same hadith in Sahih Muslim, and the other hadith is in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, but in this other narration, man amila amalan laysa alayhi amruna fahuwa rad, that whoever does a deed that is not from the deeds of this affair of ours, this deen of ours, then it's not accepted from him. Then it's rejected. So whether the person has invented that innovation himself, or he's following the people who invented that innovation, then it is rejected. So whatever holiday that the Muslims come up with that hasn't been sanctioned by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, or by His Messenger Muhammad ibn Abdullah, ibn Abdul Muttalib ibn Hisham, ibn Abdul Munaf sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then it's not sanctioned. Let alone the holidays of the Kufar, we're not supposed to participate in their holidays in any way, shape, or form. And this is from the characteristics of the believers. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that they don't participate in the holidays of the disbelieving people. Even though they don't have any intention in sanctifying them or giving any validity to their religion or their way of life, the simple act of participating in it has been made prohibited, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the believers, وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَشْهَدُونَ الزُّورِ, and those people who do not attend the festivals or the holidays or the celebrations of the disbelieving people. The second case is attending so as to satisfy one's cardinal desires, such as one who attends their festivals to participate in their wine drinking, dancing, mixing of the sexes, and etc. In this case, it is strictly forbidden, since such acts are prohibited in themselves. But when combined with witnessing the falsehood of the unbelievers or the disbelievers, they become even more strongly forbidden. We know Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has prohibited drinking of intoxicating beverages and whatever else they use to intoxicate themselves. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كُلُّ مُسْكِرٍ خَمْرٌ وَكُلُّ خَمْرٍ حَرَامٌ. And this is from the comprehensive statements of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that even though he said it 1400 years ago, it's going to apply to everybody, everywhere, to the Day of Judgment. Nobody can invent something to get away from the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because مَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْمٍ يُوحَىٰ, because he doesn't speak on his own desires, he only speaks from revelation revealed to him. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, everything that intoxicates is khamr. And I forgot what they call khamr. Wine. Every intoxicant is wine, khamr, and every khamr, wine, is haram. So long as something comes up, whether it starts off with cocaine, and then heroin, and then opium, and then new crack or ice or whatever you invent, so long as it intoxicates, it's khamr, and every khamr is haram. So this is how we see that Islam is the perfect and complete religion that is valid in all times and all places. Can someone tell me of an intoxicant that can be developed that you can think that is permissible after this hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to say during that time it was referring to such and such? But the Messenger of Allah salawatullahi wasalamu alayhi, who spoke from revelation revealed to him, spoke with comprehensive statements. that go past the boundaries of a particular country or a particular time in history or the advancements of a particular people, but that Islam has guidelines that have to be practiced and adhered to wherever you are to the Day of Judgment. So in the second case, whether it's wine or dancing, and dancing is an imitation of the kuffar, and it's not from the Muslims, and I know that Imam al-Zahabi, rahimahullah, one of the great scholars of Islam who lived in the 9th century after Hijra, he has a book on the explanation of the hadith, Man tashabbaha biqawmin fahuwa minhum. The hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that is collected by Abu Dawood and Imam Ahmed, and this hadith is authentic, that whoever imitates a people is from among them. This scholar wrote a book on how we shouldn't imitate the disbelieving people. And among the things that he mentioned in there was this dancing or raqs. He said the Muslims never had a part of their festivals, this dancing that the disbelieving people do, or whatever else they do in their form of celebration, except that it has been sanctioned by Islam. So if they're doing something in their celebration, and we're going to celebrate just to take part in that thing, and that thing, like the free mixing of the sexes, has already been laid out and it's haram in Islam, then it's even stronger. If you don't have any intention on sanctifying their holiday, or in giving validity to their celebration, it's haram. Then, if their celebration has things that are haram in it from Islam from the beginning, then it's like it's a double haram. The haram of going on the day, whatever day, they eat the pig and put an apple in his mouth or something. Akramakumullah. They used to say this phrase in Arabic, that if you mention something that's disgusting to the people, say, oh Allah, may you make the people noble, more noble than they already are. So I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make you brothers more noble and more generous and better in the sight of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala than you are for mentioning an example so disgusting as saying a pig with an apple in his mouth. But that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made that haram. And if you participate in this celebration to sneak a little piece of the haram when nobody's looking except the disbelieving people, it's like a double haram. The haram of that food that you want to partake in, the eating of, and then the haram for participating in their festivals or their celebration or their holidays. So that's the second case. The third case, participating with the intention of pleasing Allah by sanctifying the remembrance of Christ's birth. Since he is one of the greatest prophets sent to mankind, just as many Muslims celebrate the birthday of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, some Muslims can say to themselves, after Shaitan, the cursed devil, whispers to them, we got more right to celebrate Jesus' birthday because he was a real prophet of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and a slave of Allah, and we believe in him. So the Christians on Christmas, they celebrating his birthday. We got more right to celebrate it than they do, so we celebrate Christmas. And some people can be disillusioned, or because of their lack of understanding of the deen. We know that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he had come to Medina, he found the Jews fasting on Ashura, the 10th of Muharram. And when he asked them, why are you fasting? It was a day, and I don't remember the whole story, maybe someone can remind me, when Musa, it was at Musa's time, something had happened during his time, and they were fasting as a means to show their thankfulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, helping the Prophet Musa, or Moses. So the Prophet ﷺ said, that's why you're fasting? We got more right to Musa than you. Because we believe in Musa the way he was supposed to be believed in, and we followed all the prophets that Allah ta'ala sent after Musa. But you, You didn't accept the messengers of Allah and the prophets of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala that came after Musa. So the Muslims until today, and inshallah ta'ala to the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah, we fast Ashura. And we add on Tasu'a, or the ninth, so as to be different from them. We got that day and the day before it. So we're different from you. First we're taking over because we have more right to Musa than you. And then we add another day to it to be different from you. This is from the guidance of Muhammad ibn Abdullah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We can't come from our own desires and try to make a verdict like the verdict of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu wasallam alayhi. Is there somebody from among us that can say he's the Prophet of Allah? The Messenger. As-salatu was-salamu ala Rasulillah. Amma ba'du. Just going back to remind us of the first two cases and then back to the third case. The first case is doing so with no intention of sanctifying their religious rites nor believing that their religion is correct, but simply to participate with them and their customs and traditions for the sake of politeness or neighborliness. The second case, attending so as to satisfy one's cardinal desires, such as one who attends their festivals or holidays or celebrations to participate in their wine drinking, dancing, mixing of sexes, and etc. And the third case that we were on is participating with the intentions of pleasing Allah. Participating with the intention of pleasing Allah by sanctifying the remembrance of Christ's birthday, since he is one of the greatest prophets sent to mankind, just as many Muslims celebrate the birthday of the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He went on to say, this is a false innovation and straying from the Prophet's path, because neither the Prophet Muhammad, Jesus, nor any of the Prophets ever celebrated their birthdays or commanded their followers to celebrate them. We said that Islam, this deen, is based on the Quran and the Sunnah. And we always emphasize this. But here we're seeing that the Shaykh Hafizahullah, he's saying that something is haram and not permissible in Islam, but he's not actually bringing an ayat or a hadith to prove it. He's just bringing what seems to be logical. As he says, this is a false innovation and straying from the Prophet's path, because neither the Prophet Muhammad, Jesus, nor any of the Prophets ever celebrated their birthdays or commanded their followers to celebrate them. The statements like this that the ulama use, they take it into consideration that is common knowledge to all of the Muslims, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. This day I have completed for you your religion and perfected my blessing to you, and I have chosen for you Islam as the way of life. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that this religion is complete, that means that anybody comes to add something or to take away something, then it becomes other than complete. When you add or subtract from something, it's not the complete thing that it was before that addition or subtraction was added to it. And then the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَكُلُّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ وَكُلُّ ضَلَالَةٍ فِي النَّارِ. And every bid'ah is a straying, and every straying is in the hellfire. So from these general texts, that sometimes it's sufficient to say that something is an innovation in the deen, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't command us to do so, nor did Allah tabarak wa ta'ala prescribe such and such for us. To say that and to know that is enough evidence to show that something isn't permissible in Islam, based on the fact that this religion is complete from that ayah, and based on the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that every bid'ah is a straying and every straying is in the hellfire. He goes on to say, Hafizahullah, since Allah sent all the prophets to teach us how to worship Him, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran on the tongues of His messengers, Ya qawmi, u'budu Allaha ma lakum min ilahin ghayru. All of the prophets said to their people, O my people, worship Allah. You have no deity, no God, no object of worship with the right to be worshipped other than Him. So the messengers and the prophets, all of them were sent to their people, and the messenger Muhammad ibn Abdullah to humanity to the day of judgment to teach the people how to worship Allah. The Shaykh goes on to say, then the best way to sanctify their memories, the memories of the prophets, is to worship Allah alone according to their teachings and practices. Just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبُكُمُ اللَّهِ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. Say, if indeed you love Allah, say, if you love Allah, then follow me. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking to the messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say, if you love Allah, then follow me. Allah will love you and forgive you of your sins. This is the way that we please Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. This is the way we gain the love of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala for us, is to follow the messengers and the prophets of Allah. Not to invent a celebration for their birthday or their dying or whatever people use to celebrate as holidays that the people make up. But the way that we please Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is by following the messengers. As we know, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us in Quran about the last and final prophet, مَا آتَاكُمَ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ. That whatever the messenger gives you, take it, and whatever he prohibits you, leave it. So here we see that this is the way that we get closer to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in our worship of him, by following the prophets, and not by making holidays out of their birthdays or their death days or whatever. He went on to say, furthermore, celebrating the birth of Christ is even more severely prohibited than celebrating the birthday of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, since in doing so, one is joining those who take Christ as their God, or make him to be his son and partner in divinity. May Allah be exalted far. May Allah be exalted far above their false conceptions. So in this third case, participating with the intention of pleasing Allah by participating in the celebrations of the festivals or the holidays of the disbelieving people is forbidden. The fourth case, and I wanted to make another point there and it slipped me, about birthdays in general. That's what I wanted to remember before the fourth case. One of the brothers told me he had a book on, I forgot what the book is on now. I think it might be The Origin of Things or something like that. Anyway, he said, no, the book was on devil worship. That's what it was. And Allah knows best. He said that the biggest holiday, festival, and celebration for the people who worship the devil, not the people in general who are following the desires of the devil, but the people who say on their tongues they worship the devil. Those people. And I met one of them. I remember one summer, I had a summer job, my first year back from Medina. I was in Maryland. I worked at a furniture company, lifting furniture, and one of the boys there, he was a Caucasian. He used to wear shirts that he worships the devil. So I asked him, why you wear them shirts? You really a devil worshiper? And he said, yeah. You worship Allah, right? And I worship the devil. And that brother worships the dollar. And everybody gotta worship something. So he said about himself, he's worshiping the devil. And I don't like to say I, even though I'm quoting that person, because you don't want to say it on your tongue just out of mistake, that I, but he worships the devil. So I said, what do you do? I mean, is there some rituals or something? Anyway, he didn't want to go into the details of it. He just let it go like that. I called him to Islam, he rejected it, and I let it go at that. But that book said that the biggest holiday and festival and celebration for the devil worshippers is celebrating their own birthday. It's all about you and you getting closer to the devil. So that should just be a reminder to the people. in Islam, it's sufficient for us to say that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who brought the perfect, complete religion of Islam, didn't bring us celebrating the birthdays. Jesus's, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or our own birthdays or anybody's birthdays. Martin Luther King or George Washington or whatever they celebrate. This is the practice of the disbelieving people in general. And then if that's the fact about those devil worshippers, then that's their worship, not the worship of the believers. And on another point, just when we're mentioning the celebration of Jesus' birthday, even, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best whether it's the truth or not, but the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, مَنْ كَذَّبَ عَلَيْهِ بَلِّغُ عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً وَحَدِّثُوا عَنْ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ وَلَا حَرَجْ وَمَنْ تَقَوَّلَ عَلَيَّ مَا لَمْ أَقُلْ فَلْيَتَبَوَّأَ مَقْعَدَهُ مِنَ النَّارِ أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم in this authentic hadith in Al-Bukhari. Preach about me whatever you know. Any piece of information that you get from me, preach it on. This is the statement of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. And talk about or narrate from the people of Bani Israel. I don't know what you call them. Bani Israel.
The
children of Israel or the Jews. Speak about them or narrate from them and there's no difficulty. And whoever says about me what I haven't said has a place for him in the hellfire. In another narration, I thought I was quoting that narration. The Prophet ﷺ said in the other narration, "La tusaddiquhum wa la tukadhibuhum." Don't say that they're speaking the truth, and don't say that they're lying. If the Jews or the Christians make a statement in their book, and it's their book because they wrote it with their own hands, and then said that it was from Allah, in their book, on their tongues of their priests and ministers and whoever, if they make a statement, we don't just say that they're a liar. And we don't say that they're telling the truth unless we have evidence from the Quran and the Sunnah to say that is a lie. Or that is the truth. Like if they say that they had ayats in their Bible or verses in their Bible where Isa ibn Maryam or Jesus sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was making dua to Allah. Then we say, yes, Isa ibn Maryam sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make dua or supplication to Allah. And we have verses in the Quran where he made dua to Allah. And if they said that he was the son of Allah, like they say in their verses, or the son of God, then we're going to say they're lying, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes that issue very clear in the Quran that he's not the son of Allah, not the son of God. So, if the Jews or Christians speak, we don't say that they're a liar or that they're telling the truth, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us. Except that we have Quran and Sunnah to show us that yes, that is the truth, and yes, that is falsehood. So on this one, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best to the authenticity of it, but they say that the description when Jesus was born, and I don't remember the details of it anymore, but it was referring to he was born in something like September or autumn at the time of the harvest, and he wasn't born at Christmas time anyway when they celebrated. So the Christians are off in their celebration, and we shouldn't be, as Muslims, believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His prophets, celebrating the birthday like that, thinking that we're getting closer to Allah by celebrating the birthday of His prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The fourth case is celebrating their festivals or holidays or celebrations in the belief that their religion is acceptable and correct. As in the old saying, we worship the same God, but in diverse ways. And as what is called today the unity of religions, or the brotherhood of all messages, which is a slogan of World Mason, M-A-S-O-N-R-Y.
Masonry.
And its various offshoots. Such an opinion is kufr, which gets the person outside of the fold of Islam, as Allah says in the Quran, ومن يبتغي غير الإسلام دينا فلن يقبل منه وهو في الآخرة من الخاسرين. That whoever desires, and I'll use his translation, whoever chooses a religion other than Islam, it will not be accepted from him, and in the world to come, he will be one of the lost. So the fourth case is the participating or the celebration of their festivities or the holidays or their celebrations, believing that it's acceptable. He's a human being just like I am. He's a creation of Allah just like I am, and participating in it, believing that it's correct, and believing that all religions are correct. If you're a Jew, you're okay. If you're a Christian, you're okay. If you're a Buddhist, you're okay. Whatever you are, you're okay, so long as you say you worship God. You're lying on Allah when you say that you worship Him following someone else. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't leave us alone to follow any path we want to and call it the worship of Allah. But He sent His messengers with revelation to humanity, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-qawi, the strong, preserved those revelations for humanity so that we can know the straight path to follow Allah. The path that we talk about every day when we say, ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. Guide us to the straight path. That straight path ain't Buddhism, Christianity, Judaism, communism, the agnostics, whatever they are, Pentecostals, Catholic, whatever religions or ways that people are following, all of those ways aren't the Sirat al-Mustaqim. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبَلَ فَتَفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِهِ. And this is my path, the straight path. Follow it, and don't follow any other path. They will divide you from my path. How can we hear the ayats of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, guidance from our Lord, and then say that all of the paths enter to one? Like all of the rivers go to the ocean, or all of the spokes go to one hub. Rather, it's just as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam demonstrated in that authentic hadith narrated by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, when he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam drew a straight line and said, this is the path of Allah. And then he drew the crooked lines on the side of it, and he said, these paths have a devil on top of each path calling the people to it. And then he read that verse that we just read from the Quran, and this is my path, the straight path. Follow it, and don't follow any other path. They will lead you from my path. They will divide you from my path, away from my path. So the path of Islam is the straight path. There's no other path. There's no other religion. There's no other way to please Allah tabarak wa ta'ala except by Islam. وَمَنْ يَبَتَغِ غَيْرُ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. And whoever desires a religion other than Islam, it will never be accepted of him. Whoever desires the deen other than Islam, it will never be accepted of him. And in the hereafter, he'll be among the losers. So that last way of participating in or celebrating the festivals or celebrations or holidays of the disbelieving people is to think that it's okay. It's only the 4th of July. It's only Labor Day. I'm an American. I'm a laborer. I'm a contributor to the building of this country. I have every right to celebrate the independence of this country or the Labor Day because I helped build this country. You don't have a right to do anything except worship Allah. Yes?
In the statement where it said that Islam came on, it didn't come to change the culture of the people, only that which was, you know, that which was in darkness.
The statement that the brother is making, that Islam only has only come not to change the culture of the people, but to only take away the paganism from what the people used to live. This is a statement that is unknown to me, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. But what I was going to say, that which is known to me, is the statement of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, in the beginning of the Quran. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اُعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. O humanity. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing all of humanity. O humanity, worship your Lord, who created you and created those before you in order that you may be God-fearing. Just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it more explicit in another verse, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. And I have not created the jinn nor the mankind except to worship me. Our whole purpose of being given eyes and sight and intellect and hearing and intellect is to see the signs of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and to worship Allah by obeying Him and obeying His messengers salawatullahi wa salamu alayhim. Believing in Him and believing in His messengers, this is what Allah tabarak wa ta'ala wants from humanity. This is what Allah has made as the purpose for humanity. That our purpose on earth is to worship Allah. And we can only worship Allah by that which was sanctioned through His messengers. Salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. How can you know that Allah is one, except that the messengers have come to tell us, as Imam Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. Say Allah. Say He, Allah is one. How will we know that Allah is above His throne? Except that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with the verse, Ar-Rahman wa ala al-Arsh istawa. Ar-Rahman, or the most merciful, has rose high above His throne. The only way that we can know Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, that He is al-Malak al-Quddus al-Salim, al-Salam, excuse me, al-Mutakabbir, Al-Jabbar, Al-Kareem, Al-Wadud, all of the beautiful names and attributes of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, we could have only known them through the messengers of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. How do we know that we should make Maghrib three rak'ahs, and that pleases Allah? The only way that we can know how to worship Allah is through the messengers of Allah, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. So the culture that a people develops or invents or has already established for them, that culture, from whatever people it is, has to be compared to Islam or has to be sifted through the revelation of the Quran and the Sunnah, or has to be looked at through the microscope of the Quran and the Sunnah, so that we can see, is that culture in accordance to pleasing Allah and His Messenger or not in accordance? If so, it's okay, and if not, then it's not okay. So in the case of celebrating these holidays, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hasn't given any people the right to have a part of their culture, particular holidays, and to celebrate them. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he came to Medina, he made it very clear. The people had their own holidays, and he said, as for us, we have our two holidays, Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha. So the Muslims didn't participate in the holidays that they already found there in Medina. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, him and his companions, they didn't do it in the generations after them and after them until deviance crept in to Islam or to the Muslims. And the Muslims began to practice this deviance. But Labor Day and 4th of July and then Thanksgiving and all of the holidays, we don't have a right to participate in those holidays because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hasn't given us what He has given us from His blessings upon us with our hearing and our sight and our intellect to partake in these holidays. And this is why He described the believers in Him as وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَشْهَدُونَ الزُّورِ, as those people who do not witness, partake in, attend the celebrations or festivities or the holidays of the disbelieving people. So just to sum it all up, inshallah ta'ala, the question was, what is the judgment of Islamic law in the case of a Muslim who participates in celebrations of non-Islamic festivals such as Christmas, or who congratulates non-Muslims on such occasions, knowing that they are not Muslim festivals? And there are four possible cases. All each of these cases are haram because of the verse in the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَشْهَدُونَ زُورٌ, and those people who do not witness falsehood, or as meant or as explained by the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those people who do not attend the festivals or the celebrations or the holidays of the disbelievers. That's 2572 Furqan. And the last verse, maybe we'll just mention that, that's 385, and whoever desires a religion other than Islam, it will never be accepted of him. The first case, which is doing so with no intention of sanctifying their rites, nor believing that their religion is correct, but simply to participate with them in their customs and traditions for the sake of politeness or neighborliness, this is forbidden. The second case, attending so as to satisfy one's cardinal desires, such as one who attends their festivals to participate in the wine drinking, dancing, mixing of sexes, and etc., this case is also haram. Or the participating with the intention of pleasing Allah by sanctifying the remembrance of the birth of Christ, since he is one of the greatest prophets sent to mankind, just as many Muslims celebrate the birthday of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this case is also haram. And the fourth case of celebrating their festivals in the belief that their religion is acceptable and correct, and this is also not permissible, and it's haram. And we see that the Shaykh, hafizahullah, that in each case he's showing the least of the haram, of that which has been made forbidden, and it gets stronger and stronger and stronger until the final, which is actually kufr. Disbelief in Allah, to believe that everything is correct when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has come by sending His messenger to draw the line. That when Allah tabarak wa ta'ala sent the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sent him to draw the line. This is iman and this is kufr. This is belief and this is disbelief. This is tawheed and this is shirk. This is the establishment of the oneness of Allah and this is ascribing partnership. This is the halal and this is the haram. This is the permissible and this is the forbidden. This is the sunnah and this is the bid'ah. This is the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, or the way of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is an innovated way. This is what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to draw the line. These are your brothers, those are your enemies. Islam has come to draw the line, has come to separate everything into two. These are the people going to Jannah, these are the people going to the hellfire. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Naam. Father, just raising your hand. No, that's the tape.
I was raising my hand. You really answered your question because you said witness. So, how does that work?
If someone is a merchant or a vendor and he's selling all throughout the year, so one time it falls on the day of their celebration. And if he sells on that day, is that attending and witnessing their thing? You know, I thought about that. And the first thing that comes to my mind is that that case, just like any other case, is witnessing or attending or taking part in the celebration of the kuffar. That's what seems to be apparent in a way. And in another way, it seems to me that it's not partaking in their celebration. Because when we look at the four cases, and the lightest case among those cases is doing so with no intention but of sanctifying their rites, nor believing that their religion is correct, but simply to participate with them in their customs and traditions for the sake of politeness or neighborliness. Even you, it doesn't seem that when you go to sell them something, you're not going to witness nothing. You're just going to collect their money and use it fi sabilillah. But I don't want to make, and I would lean to that second side of it not being a part of participating in it, as opposed to participating into it. But the reason I'm going to make it clear that that is not my verdict, that Abu Muslima is saying that yes, the people can do so. And the reason why I'm not saying that is because I haven't found anyone that has come before me from the knowledgeable people of Islam that I heard discuss this issue and make this judgment. And I like to reiterate the point and make it clear that I'm only a student of knowledge just like yourselves, and I'm trying to learn this deen and practice it just like all of you. And I'm not a scholar in Islam, and if something comes to me that I've never studied, that I have no knowledge of, I have to say I don't have any knowledge of it, and Allah knows best. No.
What was the ayah and the straight That's in chapter 6, verse number 153. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us of our sins, to show His mercy on us, to increase us.